news, so I know many of you know it without looking at the sheets, but just in case, you can refer to Lutheran Service Book when you see a number sign or a musical note. And I just want to make one note about the prayers on page 7. Actually, most of the prayers tonight are going to be sung, and the tune is number 768, if you want to reference that. I'll try to remember to reference it when we get there, too. So if you need the musical notes, you can follow along on that there. Let's begin with hymn number 9713. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. The psalmist prays and confesses, saying, "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great." These words of confession are our prayer, too. In repentant faith, we acknowledge our sin. We ask that the Lord look upon us, who are by nature sinful and unclean, and remember his steadfast love. We repent of our great guilt and ask that the Lord would pardon it for the sake of the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. According to his steadfast love, the Lord remembers you and has mercy upon you. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. O God, you poured out your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that your mighty works might be proclaimed. Pour out your Spirit also on us today, that your name might be glorified in our lives through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Alleluia. Amen. The Old Testament lesson appointed for the day of Pentecost is written through Moses, Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, "My lord Moses stopped them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. With the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. From the New Testament, we hear the story of the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out,
If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I want to start the sermon tonight with a thank offering for our acolyte. So come on up, guys. We don't thank them for all their faithful dedication. And, Caton, it was your first time tonight, right? So you always get a special thank offering the first time, right, Jarrett?
Nope.
Sorry, you came into the tradition late. Pentecost, so what do you think I would have for you, a Pentecost thank offering? Do you remember what Pentecost means? Like Pentagon? Like 5 times 10? 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, so what do you think I should have for you? The Holy Spirit, right? I brought you a can of Holy Spirit. They spelled it wrong. It looks like a Sprite can, doesn't it? But on the bottom, it's a special can of Sprite. Can you read what it said? Spirit-filled, Spirit-filled. And more than once in the readings today, it talked about us being filled with the Spirit. And what happens when we're filled with the Spirit? Can you crush this can? No? One sec, because it's filled. Aha! When you're filled with the Spirit, it's hard to be crushed, isn't it? Like this can, for example, doesn't have anything in it. Can you crush it? Crush it. Crush it! Don't be afraid. That's what happens when you don't have the Spirit in you. But when you've got the Spirit in you, people can try to shake you up or dent you or whatever, but that's okay, because as long as the Spirit's inside, everything's going to be okay. Not only did Jesus die on the cross for us, which is enough, but he makes our life a whole lot easier by filling us with his Holy Spirit. And by the way, you might remember from the gospel lesson that talked about living water. That's another name for the Spirit. Hence, Sprite, also known as Spirit. Thanks for coming up for your Spirit service. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love. Alleluia. Amen. There was a Japanese lady converting to Christianity, and she was struggling to grasp Christian theology. And so she said this, "Honorable Father, very good. Honorable Son, very good. Honorable bird, I do not understand at all." I remember a lady coming up to me when I served in Houma, Louisiana, and she said, "Pastor Bedard, how come we in the Lutheran Church don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit?" I said, "I thought we did." And she said, "No, not nearly as much as you do about Jesus." Not that that's a thing, or God. I said, "Well, I guess I never really thought about it before, but maybe it's because that Holy Spirit is an elusive bird, isn't it?" John reminds us, the Spirit blows where it will. We can see the result of its blowing, but we know not how. And so tonight I thought I'd talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit, and especially about the three gifts that Joel prophesies, and it's repeated in the New Testament history lesson for Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Your young men will dream dreams, your old men will see visions, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. When's the last time you heard a sermon on dreams, prophecy, or visions? Maybe we don't talk about it very much. First of all, dreams. A young man once said to his girlfriend, "I dreamed about you last night." Naturally, she was intrigued and wanted to know all about it. He said, "I dreamed that I proposed to you." "I wonder what that means." She said, "That's very simple. It means that you have more sense when you're asleep than you have when you're awake." I checked, and the word dream is only in the scripture 28 times. That's not very much. 28 times. And I tried to think without looking where those times were. Can you think? Maybe you can get some that I didn't get. I got two that came to mind right away. Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, right? Oh, you're just stretching. You're just dreaming. Anybody else? Jacob. Ding, ding. That's the first two I got. Jacob and the ladder to heaven. Anybody else? Can you think of any others? There's only 26 others then. Nobody can think of any others? Well, maybe that's why, because the rest of the time when it refers to dreams, it's not such a good thing. You know, we say, "I had a dream last night," And guess what happened to you, Verlin? It's not necessarily a prophetic dream, isn't it? Jacob's interpreting Pharaoh's dreams was prophetic. It had eternal significance. Jacob's dream of the ladder was prophetic. It had to do with something eternally significant. I found a passage in Jude chapter 1, verse 8, which gets at what I'm getting at, that oftentimes our dreams are not to be trusted. In fact, how many times, I think it just happened to me yesterday, I woke up, I said, "Boy, I'm glad that was a dream." And even sometimes at night when you're not dreaming, you're thinking about things, you're stressed, you're worried, and you maybe don't get some sleep, but you wake up in the morning and you say, "Oh, well, it wasn't that bad. I got through the night, and God's going to keep me." Listen, Jude chapter 1, verse 8. Remember, it's one of the shortest books of the Bible, only 25 verses. This is verse 8. "People relying on their dreams defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones." Maybe that's why we don't talk about dreams so much. Second, prophecy. And I was excited to find that the literal definition for the word prophecy is bubble up. To bubble up. I was always taught that it had a twofold meaning. To foretell, we often think of prophecy as predictive, don't we? To predict something will happen, but it also means to foretell. And just kind of like dreams and like visions we'll get to in a minute, what's important is what we're prophesying and the result of our dreams is God's will. And so hopefully it's being inspired by the Holy Spirit, the theme of this day of Pentecost and the longest season of the church year, which continued not just the day of Pentecost, but the season of Pentecost. I found a book that talked about, the title is The World's Worst Predictions. King George II said in 1773 that the American colonies had little stomach for revolution. I think he missed that. And you know this one. Everybody could probably repeat this once I get started. An official of the White Star Line, speaking of the firm's newly built flagship, the Titanic, launched in 1912, declared that the ship was... It always makes me think of that great biography, The Unsinkable Molly Brown. In 1939, the New York Times said that the problem with TV was that people had to glue their eyes to a screen and that the average American wouldn't have time for it. An English astronomy professor said in the early 19th century that air travel at high speed would be impossible because passengers would suffocate. A man by the name of Dr. George Sweeting once estimated that, well, can you guess what percentage of the Bible is prophecy? Huh? 90? Well, if you include foretell and foretell, I guess you're right. But this is talking just about the foretelling part. I was surprised it was a little lower than I thought, 25%. Most important prophecy of the Bible is about what? Jesus Christ and his second return. Over 1,800 references appear in the Old Testament, and 17 of 66 Old Testament books give prominence to this theme. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are more than 300 references to the Lord's return, one out of every 30 verses. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great event of Jesus' return. For every prophecy on the first coming of Christ, there are 8 about Christ's second coming. We forget that, don't we? We're just kind of merrily going along our day today, and what would happen if Jesus decided to return? We'd all be caught kind of flat-footed, wouldn't we? we'd be prepared through our faith in Jesus Christ. But how many of us are ready? How many times do I hear people say, I'm not afraid to die, but not now. Or I want, but not yet. It reminds me of the great theologian Woody Allen, who once said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. And finally, visions. Actually, a better word for vision would be revelation. Not something we see, because we're so blind sometimes. And even when we see, we don't see. See? And so revelation, something that's revealed to us, and that's why it's especially a gift of the Holy Spirit. We can see only with eyes of faith. I like this example from a 12-year-old boy. He was saved at a revival, and later his friends questioned him about it. One said, did you see a vision? Another said, did you hear God speak? The boy answered all of these questions with a simple no. Well, how did you know you were saved? They asked. The boy replied, it's like when you catch a fish. You can't see the fish or hear the fish. You just feel him tugging on your line. I just felt God tugging on my heart. I want to close with this little poem. I don't look back. God knows the fruitless efforts, the wasted hours, the sin, the regrets. I leave them all with him who blots the record and mercifully forgives and then forgets. I don't look forward. God sees all the future, the road that, short or long, will lead me home. And he will face with me its every trial and bear for me the burdens that may come. But I look up into the face of Jesus, for there my heart can rest, my fears are stilled, and there is joy and love and light for darkness and perfect peace and every hope fulfilled. Happy Pentecost, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Alleluia. Light Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
A reminder that the responses in the prayer of the church are verses of hymn number 768, if you want to follow along there for the music, but the words are printed in the service folder.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. And God the Holy Spirit, let us pray for the true faith needed on our way, that he may defend us when life is ending, and from exile home we are wending. Lord, have mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. And sweetest love, your grace on us bestow. Set our hearts with sacred fire aglow, that with hearts united we love each other, every stranger, sister, and brother. Lord, have mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Transcendent comfort in our every need, help us neither scorn nor death to heed, that we may not falter nor courage fail us when the foe shall taunt and assail us. Lord, have mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Shine in our hearts, O Spirit, precious light. Teach us, Jesus Christ, to know aright, that we may abide in the Lord who bought us, till to our true home he has brought us. Lord, have mercy.
In our special prayers this evening, first of all, we are remembering the family of Walter Mueller. Walter had a fall at Three Springs on Monday, and he died last night about 5 o'clock. Let us pray. Thank you for your soldier, Walter, O Lord, who fought valiantly all his life to love his wife and serve his family, and now they truly celebrate your gift to them and to us, and we pray that they also receive much comfort, knowing his pain and suffering is over, and now he is reunited with Dorothy and all of your children in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Also this day, we are praying for Lavera Bierman, who is hospitalized in St. Louis. Also for Arnold Mueller, the father of Alex Wydeck, who is hospitalized, soon to be released, we pray. And then finally, we prayed for him a couple of weeks ago before he went into the hospital, but Alan Uteman is there for an extended period and really going through it right now. So please keep him especially in your prayers. Let us pray. O great physician, we thank you for the gifts of Lavera and Arnold and Alan, especially when their health is challenging. We thank you that we know your faith is strong in them and it will carry them through. In the meantime, thank you for the gifts of patience and strength that you continue to provide. Lord, in your mercy. We're also celebrating in our prayers this evening with Norlin and Janie Kingston and their family, who have been gifted with another grandson, Lucas Michael. And we're also celebrating with the Price Rodewald family, who celebrated holy baptism of Blaise Lee at Fort Kaskaskia this afternoon. Let us pray. Birth and new birth are also gifts of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and so we do indeed celebrate with the Kingston and Price Rodewald families. We rejoice to know that you are with these boys the rest of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord and the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of faith through your powerful Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We do give thanks to you, Almighty God, that again you have placed your Holy Spirit upon and in us. Grant that we may give ourselves to your service in how we live and as we confess your holy name each day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Soul in communion never